Good morning, everyone. I'd like to turn with you in your Bibles, if you could please, to Matthew chapter 16. Make apologies that my family couldn't be here with us. They miss you guys, and they said to say hi to everyone. And they couldn't make it because I had to work yesterday, and so we had to catch 7 o'clock this morning. Had some issues getting here with the car overheating and losing a bunch of coolant. And so fortunately we had a friend that was coming with us we hopped in his vehicle to get over here. Because we were running late after all of that, switching vehicles and everything. We got to the terminal a bit later. I went into the Starbucks there to go get us coffees, and the lineup was pretty long, and they're calling for everyone to get back in their vehicles. So as I come walking back out, all of a sudden, like, it's a nice clear sky. I felt something hitting my shoulder, and I'm like, oh, there's nothing around here but birds. So I looked down, and sure enough, so I got my jacket on so it's not a visual distraction for you guys. But yeah, that's how the morning's gone so far. So yeah, I also send you greetings, not only from my family, but also from Rob Brennan and our friend Scott, and from everyone else at Watson Road Bible Chapel. But Matthew chapter 16, and I've been working through Matthew in my daily reading here as I'm reading through the Bible. And I've just been enjoying some of the things in Matthew's gospel. When I first got saved, I didn't actually start reading in Matthew's gospel. I started in John's gospel. And then after John's gospel, I moved into the book of Acts. And then for some reason, I decided it'd be a good idea to start reading through James' letter. And then I start working my way through the gospels again and started in Matthew afterwards. But Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13 says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. Says the Lord for his help. Our God and Father, we are thankful that you have gathered us all here together. We know that none of us are here by mistake. And so, Lord, as we look into your word, we ask that you would give us encouragement, that you would comfort us. Lord, you know all our needs. And so we just commit this meeting to you, and we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Back in Christmas time, my children were in the Christmas play, and my daughter, she'd come up to me, Edith, and she said to me, Daddy, I'm feeling nervous. I'm like, oh, why? What are you nervous about? And she says, well, I'm nervous that I might not say the verse right, or I might get my lines mixed up. And so I said, oh, well, don't be nervous. I said, you've been practicing them, right? And she said, yeah. And I said, well, you'll be fine. Just ask the Lord for help. So, I was speaking recently at our chapel, and she comes up to me. She's very empathetic, and she says, Daddy, how you doing? I said, well, I'm nervous. And she says, oh, why? You've been studying, haven't you? So she begins to give me the advice I've been giving her. And so But yeah, she's very empathetic, and she just had her 7th birthday. Her and Christina share the same birthday. Some of you already know that. But and then Darby's birthday, he's going to be 8 on the 11th of this month. So yeah, they're about 2 weeks apart, Irish twins. And yeah, definitely miss them being here. It's been a bit lonely without them. But Matthew's gospel, I sort of want to bring my kids back into it. Eventually here, but so Jesus comes into the region of Caesarea Philippi. Now, Caesarea Philippi was about 100 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, sort of northeast, if you will, and approximately 140 kilometers. And so all the Gospels, well, not all the Gospels, but definitely Luke's gospel, he has divisions in his gospel where the Lord Jesus was the man sent from heaven, and then after it, at chapter 9 and verse 51, it transitions. So no longer is he the man sent, but he's the man going, right? We know that in Luke's gospel. So after Luke 9 and verse 51, he's no longer the sent one, he's no longer the coming one, but he's actually the going one. And so in Matthew's gospel, we have the same transition. Matthew chapter 1, let's just look there quickly. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. I've shared this before here, I believe, but I got it from Neil M. Fraser's book, The Grandeur of Golgotha. It says, "The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Now, there's no mistake that these names are put here in this order. And so as at the breaking of bread one recently, and I'd shared this, and I didn't I intentionally left out the book because that wasn't my focus that I wanted to get onto. And so I quoted the rest of the verse, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, and a brother had come up to me very encouragingly, and he said, "I enjoyed what you had to say, brother, but you missed a very important part of the verse." He said, "The book of the genealogy," or "the book," is a very important part of that verse. And so he says, if you think about it, so the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, right? That's the New Testament. He says there's another time that word is mentioned, the book, and the other time is in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 1. And he says the book of the genealogy are the generations of Adam. And so you have the two different, right? The first Adam, the last Adam, right? And so he says, just encourage me to make sure I didn't miss that important part in the verse again. So I said, okay, thank you, brother. I'll make sure I won't. So the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now notice that the very first name in the New Testament is the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And that's where everything begins, and that's what Matthew chapter 16 is going to tell us. Because without the Lord Jesus Christ, we wouldn't all be here, right? And so we're thankful that new life starts with Jesus Christ. And so it says, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and then he says, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, what do you notice about that first thought? Well, you notice that maybe alphabetically, Abraham should have been first, right, over David. The other thing you might notice is if you put it chronologically, Abraham was before David's time, right? And so, but the Spirit of God makes no mistake when he puts the son of David, the son of Abraham. And so why does he put it that way? Well, Neil M. Fraser says, well, the Lord Jesus came first to the children of Israel as a son of David, the rightful ruler of the kingdom. And that's what Matthew's gospel is about, is he's portraying the Lord Jesus as the king of the Jews. And so as king of the Jews, he comes back and he offers a kingdom to the Jewish nation. And they rejected him. And so then he came as a son of Abraham. Now, what do we know about Abraham? Well, David was the ruler, right? David, great king. Well, what about Abraham? Well, we know of Abraham, probably the most well-known thing is Genesis 22, right? He went to went up onto the mountain with Isaac to sacrifice Isaac, his only begotten son. And so that's the picture here, is he came as one who's going to be crucified, right? The children of Israel rejected the kingdom. They rejected the king. They said, we have no king but Caesar. And so after that, he came as a son of Abraham. And so as a son of Abraham now, so the first 16 chapters of Matthew's gospel, he's working with the Jewish people. He's offering the kingdom to them. He's teaching them about the kingdom, and they reject him. So now he makes his transition here from the Jewish people over to the Gentiles. And so that's where we get into our section here, is right in that transition. So it says, when he came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. So here, the Sea of Galilee at the beginning and Jerusalem are about the same equator or whatever it is, the same axis. And then so if you go 100, I guess your guys' way, you go 140 kilometers north and just a bit east, and you get Caesarea Philippi. So the Lord Jesus is not done with the Jewish nation, right? Some people might think, oh, we're thankful that the Lord Jesus, or that the Jewish people rejected the Messiah, because now we have access to him. Well, that's not the case. The Lord's intent was always to reach the whole people, right? Every tribe, every nation, every tongue, every people. And that's always been his mission from the get-go. He was going to do that with the Jewish people, but they rejected him. And so now he's using the Gentiles to reach the world and to evangelize the world. So we come to the furthest part from Jerusalem. So the Lord Jesus is moving on, right? You see that transition. He's far away from Jerusalem now. He's not done with Jerusalem, but maybe put aside for the time being until maybe the tribulation period. And then so now he comes to this place, and he asks his disciples, he says, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now his disciples very graciously and very thoughtfully said to themselves, well, we could say that, you know, what some of the people are saying, he's the son of Beelzebub, or he's an illegitimate son. We could say some of those things, but you know what? We'll say the best things about what the people are saying, right? And so they say, well, you know, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others, because you weep a lot, maybe they say you're Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. And so they begin to put the best information forward that the people were saying. Well, this right, this is only one side of the equation. It doesn't tell all the other things that the people were saying, but it's just the best things. And then he says to them, he makes a transition now, and he says, but who do you say that I am? Right? And so growing up in school, like high school, middle school, even elementary school, like I didn't come from a Christian background. I came from a Catholic background. And we were taught to work our way into heaven, right? Once you get to heaven, you got the scales, you know, if there you've done more good than bad, then you'll get into heaven, hopefully. And there's no assurance of it. And so along with that was all this other false doctrine or false teachings, but in order to get to heaven, we must realize who Jesus is, right? And so in my background, in my, you know, secular schooling, I guess, people would say about the Lord Jesus, that he was a good man, he was a good teacher, he came to be a good example, right? Maybe you've heard some of the same things. Well, I'd shared in the at the breaking of bread, that if that were the case, and I get this from August Van Ryn on his book, on his books and on the Gospels, but at the Transfiguration Mountain, if the Lord Jesus were to only come for that, just to lead a good life, to be a good example, to live a perfect life, whatever it might be, then he would have went back home with Moses and Elijah at the Transfiguration Mountain, but he didn't. So you notice in some of the stories right after the Mount of Transfiguration, he comes down from the mountain and he meets a single boy that's in need of care. Another only begotten son. And this only begotten son of the Father, he needs healing. And so he heals this boy. So, at the Transfiguration Mountain in Luke's Gospel, it says he began to talk about the things, about his decease that he must accomplish. Right? And so he moved on from, came down from the Mount of Transfiguration to go to another mountain. So now the Lord Jesus, he puts the onus on his disciples. He say, look, this is what everyone else says, right? But he says, what do you say of me? My kids had come to me one day. They listened to these CDs. They're not CDs. They used to be CDs. You can just get them on an app now. But called Adventures in Odyssey. And so Adventures in Odyssey is a Christian program, if you don't know it. They tell biblical stories, and they got the same reoccurring characters, and they added more characters. And they teach the Bible in an action way, sort of. I don't know how to describe it, but it's a good series. It's a good thing to listen to. We listen to it on our drives as a family. And so they were cleaning their rooms one day and listening to Adventures in Odyssey, and they come up to me, and well, on separate occasions, but Edie was the first one, and she said, Daddy, guess what? And I said, what? She said, I'm saved. I said, what do you mean you're saved? Like, I wanted to hear what she had to say about it. So she said, I asked the Lord Jesus to forgive me of my sins. I said, you did? And she said, yeah. I was like, oh man, praise the Lord, Edie. That's good. And then Darby, not long after, maybe a week or two later, he had said the same thing. So then some time had gone by, and they come up to me and they said, Daddy, we want to be baptized. And I was like, baptized? Like, you guys are, don't you know you're 7 and 6? Like, you can't be baptized until you're 13 or 12 or older. No, I'm kidding. I didn't say that. But so when they told me this, they said they wanted to be baptized. These are the things that came into my head. Now, that's I don't know if it's our rules and regulations, traditions, you might call it. But so I begin to think of all these things now. I ask myself, well, can they be baptized? Like, they're 6 and 7. They're 7 and 7 right now. And so as I begin to think about it, I think to myself, you know, I ask the Lord for wisdom, ask the Lord for help, and like, Lord, I want to do the right thing for you. They want to get baptized, but how does it all balance out? How does it all equalize? And so as I begin looking into it, now I'm still looking into it, still praying about it and studying, but like, I think of the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, look, here's water, like, what hinders me from being baptized, right? When I got baptized, I was 6 months saved, and when the elders had said to me, like, hey, why do you want to get baptized so quick? And I was like, well, if, you know, we were in biblical times, you would have said, what's taking you so long, right? And so here are my kids, they're, you know, saved less than a year, and they want to get baptized. And so, yeah, pray for me about all that, and I need wisdom on it myself. Like, are we just holding to traditions? When we got Darby, right, we adopted him. First we fostered to adopt, And the Lord very graciously provided us with Darby. And so in that whole process, there's some traditions in my culture that people hold to. So one of the traditions is, well, you can't cut your kid's hair in the first year of their life. So we cut Darby's hair. We had his hair cut in the first year of his life. And so my mom was like, oh, you can't do that. And I said, oh, why not? She said, oh, I don't know. So she's like, ask your Auntie Alana. So I said, okay, well, I phone up my Auntie Alana. I'm like, hey, so what's this whole deal with not cutting your kid's hair in the first year of their life? And she says, well, I don't know. You got to ask your grandmother. So I'm like, okay. So then I phone up my grandmother, and she's like, yeah, I don't know where it all comes from. So, some of these traditions that we hold on to, and we don't know why. But so here are my kids, right? I didn't grow up in a Christian home. They hear about me speaking about the Lord Jesus. They hear Christina speaking about the Lord Jesus. Rob and Cindy are right next door. They hear them speaking about the Lord Jesus. So does that mean they're just inherently become Christians and that they'll get to heaven? Well, no. They came to a point in their life where they made this confession. And so who do you say that I am? And that's the stage that we need to get into, right, in our own lives. Even as believers, we need to be reminded of these things about who the Lord Jesus is. Jabe Nicholson had I don't know who put me on this book, Plant of Renown, but he said on it that his grandfather used to read this book every day, or sorry, not every day. He used to read it through once every year, and that's how his grandfather was able to stay so sweet all his years. And so, yeah, The Plant of Renown by Leonard Sheldrake is a good book. It's very, very helpful. But so here's a confession, or here's a question, is who do you say that I am, right? So Darby and Edie, they don't become Christians because their parents, me and Christina, are Christians, right? We all know that. It's just like you living in your garage. It doesn't make you into a car, right? So yeah, I've had a few experiences like this where, next to getting married, more importantly, my salvation and getting married and having kids, some of the other notable things in my life are seeing, like, my kids saved, seeing my mother saved. My mother was an alcoholic all her life. I've told you guys that before. And she had eventually died because of the lifestyle that she lived. It caught up to her, as it does a lot of people. So the doctor said she only had, 6 months to live, and so she was dying from end-stage liver disease. So I just said to Christina, I'm going to go into the hospital every day, bring my Bible. It was actually this Bible here. And I said, if there's an opportunity, I'll read with her, I'll pray with her, whatever. So she saw me carrying my Bible, and then she said, son, why don't you read to me? So I said, okay, I'd gladly read to you, Mom. So I said, we'll start where I started. We'll start in John's gospel, right? She wanted to know God, and so what better gospel to pick than John's gospel? It's written that you might know God. So we end up reading through John's gospel, and then we got started in Matthew's gospel. And then it came to a point where she wanted to have what I had. She said, son, I want to have what you have. I said, what do you mean? And she said, I want to become a Christian. So I said, okay, that's very good, Mom. And so now I'm like, I don't got schooling. I don't got anything but the Word of God here. And I said, Mom, this is what I said. I opened Romans 10:9. I said, it says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God had raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. And then so as I'm explaining to her, this sort of half-baked prayer, maybe, she interrupts me and she starts to pray, and she asks the Lord to forgive her of her sins. The Lord very graciously gave her another, probably another year after that. But when she died, I remember being there at her hospital bed, and I remember her seeing, her stop breathing. And in that moment, Daniel's verse popped into my head that the God in whose hand thy breath is, right? And so, and then absent from the body, present with the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm thankful that she's with you now. And so these are just some of the instances where I've seen great moments like this. But who do you say that I am? Peter very boldly speaks up for everyone. And he says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right? And that's a moment we need to get to in our lives. It's a moment I need to get to in my life. And to be reminded that Jesus is the Christ, right? What does Jesus mean? Jesus means Savior. Christ means the Anointed One. And so I need to get back into my life at this point here. Right? You remember when you first got saved and there wasn't enough hours in the day for you to be praying, for you to be reading? Yeah, to see my children now who want to live their life for the Lord, and they're only 7 and 8, like, yeah, I mean, hallelujah to that. It brings a new, it renews the faith, it renews my spirits, I guess. And it makes me want to go on. And my kids ask me questions, and sometimes they seem so basic, but it's like, you know what? You got to stop and think about an easy question. It's like, huh, that is a good question. And so I learn a lot more from my kids probably than they learn from me. So here they are, they're 7 years old, and they want to be obedient by the waters of baptism. And so what is baptism? When they come up to me and they ask me, they said they wanted to get baptized, I asked them, well, what is baptism? And they said, well, I don't know. So I said, okay, well, I just gave them a very, you know, simplistic picture. And I believe it was Einstein who said, if you can explain something very simply to a 5-year-old, then you don't understand it enough. And so here I'm like, okay, well, my kids are 7, so hopefully I'll be able to explain baptism to them. And so I said, okay, this is a picture here. When you're baptized, right, it's an outward expression of something that happened inward, right? For with the heart, with the heart, one believes, right? And so as you go into the waters of baptism, right, you go down into the water and then you come back out. That's the Lord Jesus, right? So the Lord Jesus died, and you're saying, I identify with the Lord Jesus. And so when he died, I died to myself. I died to my flesh, right? And when he went to the waters, that's him being buried. And you're saying your old life is buried too. And then when you come out of the waters, that's a newness of life, right? And so I said, that's all baptism is. I remember when I got baptized. So, like I said, I was 6 months saved. I brought my friends with me because I knew it was a big deal. Rob said I should bring my friends, so I brought 2 of my cronies with me. Never carried my Bible for the first 6 months into the building. And then that Sunday, I made sure I had it and had the towel with me. And I said, hey, you guys see that water tank filled up there? And they said, yeah. I said, that'll be me that'll be going in there. And so that was huge for me to say to them that, you know, that's me going to be baptized. And so at that point, it's a separation. Now they know for sure. Maybe they heard I was a Christian. Maybe they figured I was a Christian. But from that point on, there was no question about it. Dion's a born-again Christian, and it wasn't the waters of baptism that made it that. The waters of baptism were just a step in obedience, and now I'm becoming public with my faith. And so in that whole process, I was saying to everyone at Horse Lake Christian Fellowship, I want to be obedient to the Lord Jesus, and I want you guys to hold me accountable. Right? You guys were all here to witness it. Dion got baptized. He's a born-again Christian, so he proclaims, and so we're going to hold him accountable to that, right? And so, yeah, these are just some of the things that I'm working through in my own life, right? My kids coming up and saying, right, the Lord Jesus, he's the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said, and that's what we need to get to. So another thing I've seen in Matthew's gospel, it's something I've enjoyed, was on the Transfiguration Mountain. It says, while the Lord Jesus was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. And when the disciples heard it, it says they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. At Mount Sinai, the Lord Jesus was there. Right? This was the Ten Commandments being written, and Moses went up onto the mountain. And the people were instructed to not touch the mountain. And if they touched the mountain, they would die. They would fall dead on the spot there. And so you have that picture. So in contrast, right? If you touch the mountain, you'll die. Then you come to the Mount of Transfiguration. And here the people were on the mountain. They were in the presence of the Lord Jesus. And it says, they heard this great noise, this great voice, and they fell on their faces. And they were greatly afraid. And Jesus comes up to them and he touches them. And he calls them, he gives them a command, and he says, arise, do not be afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. What a beautiful picture that is, to see no one but Jesus only, right? And so we have our confession. The Lord Jesus puts the onus on us. He says, look, you might have heard some great things about me. He's like Elijah. He's like Jeremiah. It's like John the Baptist. That's what other people say of me, but who do you say that I, Son of Man, am? And so we need to get to that point in our lives. We need to recognize that the Lord Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we need to, like the disciples here, the two of them, lifting up their eyes and seeing no one but Jesus only. It's easy to get distracted in the world. I know firsthand of it. Like I had to work yesterday and I didn't want to. And so it's, you know, now I'm distracted with work when I would have rather been studying and looking into the word and preparing more. But yeah, the world brings distractions. It's full of them. And so Satan is hoping to rob you of your time, and he doesn't want you to spend this precious time with the Lord Jesus and to see only him. So we have all these distractions that we got to fight through. And as believers, like you look in the book of Acts, one of the things that Satan had an issue with was the name of the Lord Jesus. He said, look, you guys can call yourselves Christians. You can call yourselves a little Christ, whatever you want to do, whatever you want to say, but keep the name of the Lord Jesus out of your mouth, is basically what he said. He said, that's the only issue I have, is you can preach whatever message you want, but don't preach Jesus' name. And so in the book of Acts, well, that only started more of a fire, right? The disciples had gone, the Christians had gone all over and preached the message of the Lord Jesus. Oh yeah, this is a point that I need to get to in my life, and hopefully you guys have found some encouragement in this, and yeah, we'll close the meeting in prayer. Our God and Father, we once again thank you that we can be gathered here together in your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the word that it is living and powerful, and we pray that we would be in it every day, and we know that we can have as much of you as we want. So Lord, we thank you for the open relationship that we have with you. You're just a shout away, you're just a prayer away, Lord. You're never far from any one of us. And so Lord, we ask that you would bless the rest of our day, and we commit it to you. And we pray in your precious and worthy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.